This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this gathering, to forgive our sins and to forgive our shortcomings. Firstly, I want to mention that I am aware that there could be among us homosexuals that are sitting or people that have these urges. And I say to these people that you are more than welcome to stay with us. We want to educate you on this topic. We want to share intellectual points and proofs from the Quran and the word of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to guide us all. Inshallah ta'ala, this knowledge that we share gives you the ability to make correct decisions in life, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. My brothers and sisters in Islam, there is no one that doubts we are living in difficult times. Evil and corruption is rampant on every level. And more specifically, the fitrah of the human being, the natural disposition of mankind has been distorted so badly. Sexual deviation has become a widespread matter. Deviance in sexual matters has only happened twice in history, in the time of Lut alayhi salam, and in this time that we live in now, starting only from a few decades ago. Today, a male can marry a male and have the marriage legally registered, and they are issued a marriage certificate. A woman can do the same thing and marry another woman like her and have the marriage certificate issued to them. Today, people can change their gender from male to female and from female to male. And there are about 68 genders in today's world. Allah Azza wa Jal, He only said, وَمَا خَلَقَ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى. He only created the male and the female. وَابْنَ عَبَّاسَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, he said, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not mention the story of Qawm Lut in the Quran, he would have never believed that a man can approach another man in a sexual manner. He would have never believed this. But since it was Quran, of course, we accept it as it is. And today as well, the evil and the corruption is so rampant that there are huge debates and there are documentaries on how do we define a woman. A few months ago, during the election debate between both leaders of the Labour Party and the Liberal Party, they were asked a question on the podium. What is a woman? This is a question that is being questioned today. There's confusion about what a woman is. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And not only this, the rest of us are slowly and slowly being forced to accept all of this and to support all of this as well. And the big problem, my brothers and sisters in Islam, if you wanted to address or you wanted to label this entire issue that we are facing with one word, the biggest problem is that haya has been lost. Modesty has been lost. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ مِمَّا أَدْرَكَ النَّاسِ مِنْ كَلَامِ النُّبُوَّةِ الْأُولَى إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِ فَصْنَعْ مَا شِئْتِ. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that there was a matter that was spread by every single prophet, and that is modesty. Every single prophet taught his people modesty. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِ فَصْنَعْ مَا شِئْتِ. If you do not have haya, if you do not commit and adhere to modesty, if you lose your modesty, فَصْنَعْ مَا شِئْتِ, you will find yourself doing whatever you like and whatever you desire and whatever you will and please. This is what happens. And so this, in the hadith, there is a warning that whoever does as he pleases, and that's only going to be a result by losing al-haya, then be careful, because whatever you do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold you to account for that. Well, haya, it comes from the word hay, which means someone that is alive. Because if a person still has haya within him, has modesty within him, then he's still alive. His heart is still alive. And the one who loses al-haya, he's a dead man walking. He's a person whose heart has died. As a result, you will find him doing whatever he pleases and whatever his desire calls him to. And look at this story I share with you in terms of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would preserve al-haya of Musa alayhi salam, a prophet of Allah. Bani Israel, they abused Musa alayhi salam and they insulted him and they harmed him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Quran, لا تكونوا كالذين آذوا موسى. Do not be like those who insulted and hurt Musa. How did Bani Israel hurt him? They used to say that Musa is not having a shower with us. They were all showering together. And they would say he's not showering with us because he's got an abnormality in his male organ. His male organs are big. This is why he's not coming and he's making and taking ghusl and a shower with us. He used to go away and have his ghusl alone, separately. And they continued to harm him in this manner. So one day he went, and this is a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. He went and he performed the ghusl, he took his clothes off and he put them on a rock. And he began to shower. Moments later, the rock began to move. It began to move by the permission of Allah. Musa alayhi salam began to run after it until the rock settled where Bani Israel were together and having their own ghusl. So he appeared in front of them naked because his clothes weren't with him. He appeared in front of them naked. They saw him and they realized that they had accused him of something that wasn't true. Allah Azza wa Jal said, فَبَرَّأَهُ اللَّهُ مِمَّا قَالُوا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleared him from the accusation they threw against him. And then he took his clothes and he hit that rock so hard. But this, I want to tell you this. What is the difference between this entire thing happening? His clothes on a rock and the rock moves. What's the difference between this and between Allah Azza wa Jal commanding Musa, go and strip naked in front of Bani Israel? Wouldn't the result be the same? If Allah Azza wa Jal had revealed to him, Ya Musa, strip naked before Bani Israel so that they can see that they have accused you falsely, then the result would have been that he would have taken his clothes off and appeared naked in front of them. And the exact same thing happened with the rock. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not command him to do this to preserve his modesty. So Allah Azza wa Jal moved a rock. He moved a rock, something that does not happen normally. Allah Azza wa Jal would move a rock so that he can preserve al-haya of Musa alayhi salam, so that it's not by his will and his choice that he stripped naked before them. Rather, it was Allah Azza wa Jal's plan in how it happened, and it happened all of a sudden in that manner. Subhanallah. Well, even up until this day, when people go into surgery, they dress the surgical clothing, and then the doctor, he will uncover the awra when the person is in his sleep and then perform the surgery or the procedure that requires to be done close to the privates of a person or within the privates of a person. This is how it is. This is al-haya. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one time he came out to the Sahaba and he said to them, Istahyu min Allahi haqq al-haya. Be shy, be modest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way he deserves to be modest of. So they said to him, Ya Rasulullah, Inna lanastahyi min Allah. We surely have modesty of Allah Azza wa Jal. He said to them, Laysa thalik, la la la. I want to define to you what modesty is. So he defined modesty in these words. And he said, وَلَكِنَّ مَنْ إِسْتَحْيَى مِنَ اللَّهِ حَقَّ الْحَيَاءِ فَلِيَحْفَظِ الرَّأْسَ وَمَا حَوَى وَلِيَحْفَظِ الْبَطْنَ وَمَا وَعَى وَلِيَذْكُرِ الْمَوْتَ وَالْبِلَى وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ تَرَكَ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the true modesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to truly have modesty, is a few things. Number one, فَلِيَحْفَظِ الرَّأْسَ وَمَا حَوَى. Protect and guard the intellect. Don't allow rubbish to come into this intellect. Protect your mind from the filth and the garbage that is out there, from the TikTok and the social media and the Instagram and the reels and all that rubbish. Avoid it and keep away from it, because when you keep away from it, now you are implementing al-haya that is required. Only bring into he what is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. Al-Quran, memorizing the Quran, looking into the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reading a sunnah and so on. Plenty of exercises and activities to do to keep this sane and in line. The other thing is, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلْيَحْفَظِ الْبَطْنَ وَمَا وَعَى, and safeguard the stomach. Make sure only al-halal enters the stomach and that which is around it, that is the privates. Make sure that is only fulfilling its desire in a way and a manner pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلْيَذْكُرِ الْمَوْتَ وَالْبِلَىٰ, and also part of modesty is to continuously remember death and al-bila, the end of a person. What is it? The desire and the temptation that you take from this worldly life was a couple of minutes, a couple of hours, and then at the end you'll become dead and you'll become bila, meaning you will disintegrate into this earth and you'll become one with the dirt. And on the day of judgment, Allah Azza wa Jal would resurrect you and question you for all that which you have done. وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةِ, and whoever desired the afterlife, تَرَكَ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, would leave the luxuries and enjoyments of this worldly life. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ فَعَلَ ذَلِكَ, who does these four manners, فَقَدْ إِسْتَحْيَى مِنَ اللَّهِ حَقَّ الْحَيَاةِ, truly he has been modest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or to Allah Azza wa Jal. My brothers and sisters in Islam, wallahi, it is only the true believer who will be able to ride the waves of fitan with ease. These fitan and corruption and evil that is pumping down at us, only the true believer will be able to survive and hover above these waves as they come onto him with ease, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. And I share the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with you. This is good news. Listen, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تُعْرَضُ الْفِتَنُ تُعْرَضُ الْفِتَنُ عَلَى الْقُلُوبِ عَرْضَ الْحَصِيرِ عُودًا عُودًا. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the fitan will be exposed to a person like a straw mat, one straw after the other. Yani the idea of a straw mat is that the straws come one after the other, meaning the fitan are going to be exposed and they're going to be flushed right before your heart, one after the other. So then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَأَيُّ قَلْبٍ أُشْرِبَهَا نُكِتَتْ فِيهِ نُكْتَةً سَوْدَاءً. Any heart who engages with this fitna, absorbs this fitna, embraces it, loves it, then there is a black dot inscribed in his heart every time he engages with al-fitna. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, and any heart who rejects it and condemns it, he will have a white scribe on his heart. Until the hearts become of two types. حتى تصير القلوب على قلبين. Hearts become two types. Number one, قلب أبيض مثل الصفا. A heart that is crystal white and polished and clean like a white rock. You know this heart, what Allah rewards it with? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا تضره فتنة ما دامت السماوات والأرض. He will never ever be harmed by a single fitna so long as the heavens are there and the earth is here, meaning until the end of your life. You will not be harmed by a single fitna. And the other heart is going to be أسود مربدا كالكوز مجخيا. The other one would become a black, dusty color. And it was described as an upside down vessel. You know, an upside down vessel, nothing can settle in it. You can't put anything in it. So the heart becomes so distorted, so black, so diseased, that no goodness can ever settle in this heart. No manners and etiquette and modesty could ever settle in this heart. Nothing. Because it's upside down. And this heart becomes, what's a sign of this heart? لا يعرف معروفا ولا ينكر منكرا. Such a person will not know the difference between evil and goodness. Will not know the difference between a sin and a good deed. Khalas, matters become confused in his life. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to save us. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ السَّعِيدَ لَمَنْ جُنِّبَ الْفِتَنَ, and he said it three times. Truly, the happy, successful one is the one who keeps far away from the fitan. Junniba, it comes from the word jamb, meaning the fitna is there and he's totally on the other side. And he repeated it sallallahu alayhi wa sallam three times. Meaning, the further away a person is from a fitna, the more happy and successful he is. And the closer he is to a fitna, the more sad and depressed and worried he becomes. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, سَتَكُونُ فِتَنْ. It will surely be fitan. Trials, temptations, desires. It will be certain at the end of time, they will be rampant and widespread incredibly. As we see today. Then he said, الْقَاعِدُ فِيهَا خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْقَائِمِ. The one who's sitting is better than the one who's standing. And the one who's standing is better than the one who's walking. And the one who's walking is better than the one who is running. This hadith is teaching us that people are in stages and levels when it comes to fitan. Some are sitting. Alhamdulillah, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to keep us sitting and away from the fitan. And some are standing, want to see what's happening. And some are walking. And some are running to al-fitan. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to save us. From these fitan that people are running towards, and this was a worry and a concern of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he told us about this 1400 years ago. And this was the worry and concern he had about homosexuality spreading among his ummah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the hadith al-sahih, إن أخوف ما أخاف عليكم أو إن أخوف ما أخاف على أمتي عمل قوم لوط. He said, what I fear the most for my nation is the deed and the act of the people of Lut, homosexuality. And we are now beginning to see the true nature of this hadith and why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam feared it the most and why he was concerned about it. And I want to begin tonight's discussion. The first point is, how did homosexuality go from being illegal and a crime punished by law, how did it go from that to becoming decriminalized and it became legal and now it's legally recognized by the majority of the world? How did this happen? First and foremost, keep in mind this. Any evil that goes from evil to something good, there is definitely the hands of the shaitan at work. And the shayateen of two types, of jinn kind and mankind. Because there's shayateen from here and shayateen from here. That's number one. A shaitan's role is to continuously decorate deeds for those who desire them. This is what a shaitan does. He decorates the deeds. He decorated to Adam alayhi salam. When Allah Azza wa Jal had forbid him from the tree, Shaytan would say to Adam that this is a tree, if you ate from it, you will last in the paradise forever, Shajarat al-Khuld, and you'll become two angels, and you'll live here forever, you'll never come out. He decorated the sin, and this is what a Shaytan does. Very good at it. And we see this in more than one thing. A zina is called personal services, right? This is how it is today. Drugs are given names like ecstasy. Ecstasy means happiness. It's given names like speed and ice. And these are all positive names. You wouldn't associate them with something wrong. And alcohol is given the name of spirits. Spirits, heck, as though if you drink it, your spirit would be uplifted. A shaitan's first thing he does is he begins to change the names. Homosexuality is called love. Love is love with a rainbow color. Heck, decorates the deed, decorates the sin. And people, bit by bit, they find themselves immersed in these kind of sins and acts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, وَإِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً. Whenever the people committed a fahisha, a moral, shameless, vulgar act, if a believer did this, the step after this is to repent and ask Allah for forgiveness. But these people, what they do, they commit the sin. The next stage is قَالُوا وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهَا آبَاءَنَا. They begin to say, our forefathers did this. This is called the process of normalization. They begin to normalize the sin. They say, what's the problem? We're doing it. Those in this country are doing it. Our neighbors are doing it. Other countries are doing it. And they all come up and they all support each other. So the fahisha is first done. Next, it's normalized. And the normalization process is a long process. We're going to explain how. Finally, you know what happens? They say, Wallahu amarana biha. It went from a shfahisha to ascribing it to Allah and saying it's deen. And we have Muslims among us that fooled brothers and sisters, saying to them that this is not a fahisha. This is something that is permissible and halal in Islam. They ascribed it to Allah. Wallahu Azza wa Jal has already told us about this process. Wallahu amarana biha. The simple response was to say, قُلْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ أَتَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. You people are speaking out of ignorance, and we're going to highlight this ignorance, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. So that's number one, الشيطان has a hand. This is how it goes from illegal to legal. الشيطان has a hand. Number two, there's a normalization process, and it's continuing today, it's continuing. This normalization process does not stop. Everywhere you go, and in schools, it's in your face. This is all part of the normalization process. Finally, ascribing it to Allah, making it deen. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And the third thing is, listen very carefully. Allah Azza wa Jal would say in Surah Sad, وَانْطَلَقَ الْمَلَأُ مِنْهُمْ أَنِمْشُوا وَاصْبِرُوا عَلَىٰ آلِهَتِكُمْ إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ يُرَادٌ. Allah Azza wa Jal tells us about Quraysh. When their idols were being condemned and their idols were being detested, this is a shirk, this is evil, Al-Mala felt threatened. Al-Mala are the elite and the high people in society. They usually don't go down to do the work. They send their people. But when things get serious, they themselves come down. For Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, انطلق الملأ منهم. The big bosses, the big leaders, the elite, they came out and they began to march in the streets of Mecca. And they would encourage their followers and supporters saying, اصبروا على آلهتكم. Be patient upon your idols. Be patient upon the falsehood. Defend your idols. Be firm upon the worship of the idols. And this is exactly what Al-Mala' did today in order to get what they've got. And that is that they are patient upon their falsehood. They are patient upon the evil. They are. Imshu wasbiru. Every single year there's a pride march. And even we're going to mention about the first incident of this march and how it happened. But the idea is there's this sabr ala al-ma'asiyah. They have patience over their falsehood. Where is the patience of the believers upon the truth? Wallahi, if the believers had this kind of attitude and this strength and this patience upon truth, Al-Islam would have filled the entire globe. My brothers and sisters in Islam, this is the quick history. And we're going to go from the end of World War II up until this day. So of course, before World War II, homosexuality was a crime. It was unaccepted on all levels, morally, socially, politically. No one had accepted it, and it was condemned as a crime, and you'd be punished if you were to commit and engage with this crime. World War II ends, and that's the same story. World War II ends at about 1945. We move on. In those years post-World War II, it's still the same. Nothing changes until the 1952. 1952 comes in. And this is the year in which the DSM was first published. DSM is short for Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. This is a book. It's a glossary of all the terms of mental disorders. It's written in this book, in this manual. These disorders are described, and then there's treatments and cures in this book. And this was recommended by the APA. The APA is short for American Psychiatric Association. They're the ones that recommended, when the DSM first was published, put in this book that homosexuality is a mental disorder. And so it was recorded officially in this DSM, which doctors would use all worldwide, that homosexuality was a mental disorder. Now we're going to say what Allah says. And that is that this is, as Lut alayhi salam would say, أَتَأْتُونَ الْفَاحِشَةَ مَا سَبَقَكُمْ بِهَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. In Islam, we refer to it as الفاحشة, the immoral, shameless, vulgar act and deed. And I want you to pay attention to something. When Allah Azza wa Jal referred to الزِّنَا in the Quran, He said, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً. فَاحِشَةً, there's no alif lam, فَاحِشَةً. When Allah Azza wa Jal forbid us from marrying the woman our fathers marry, He said, وَلَا تَنْكِحُوا مَا نَكَحَ آبَاؤُكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ إِلَّا مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَمَقْتًا وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. إذن الزنا, and the woman that your fathers married, it was referred to as fahishatan, an immoral, evil deed. But homosexuality in the Quran was referred to as al-fahishata. There's an alif lam. And the alif lam implies a meaning. It means the immoral deed, meaning all the meanings of immorality are found in homosexuality. All the meanings of vulgarity are found in homosexuality. Then at the end of the day, what is the difference between a zina and a permissible halal marriage? What's the difference? Nothing. The only difference is words. That's all. The only difference is words. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَاسْتَحْلَلْتُمْ فُرُوجَهُنَّ بِكَلِمَةِ اللَّهِ, that a woman's privates becomes halal for a man with the word of Allah. The wali would say, I give you my daughter in marriage. He says, I accept, two witnesses, alhamdulillah, it's become halal. And if you skip this process, it is haram, it is zina. But the homosexual act is referred to as al-fahishata. ما سبقكم بها من أحد من العالمين. Lut alayhi salam would say to the people, no one before you had ever committed anything like this. And these words of Lut alayhi salam imply denouncing the fahisha, meaning he's saying to them, no one before you ever did this, in a negative manner. Where did you come from? Where did you come with this deed from? For even this is the ID. Nonetheless, we said that the DSM 1952 coins it and refers to it as a mental disorder. But the Quran, there is reference in the Quran to suggest a link between this deed and the intellect of a person. And that is when Lut alayhi salam would say to the people, as Allah Azza wa Jalla would say in the Quran, لَعَمْرُكَ إِنَّهُمْ لَفِي سَكْرَتِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. Even they were described as لَفِي سَكْرَتِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he described Qawm Lut. He said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I swear by your life, indeed, they are immersed deeply, لَفِي, they are immersed deeply into a drunken state of confusion. They are blinded by their drunkenness. With drunkenness affects what? It affects the intelligence of a person. Ibn Ashur rahimahullah, he said, sakra is the complete absence of the intellect. When the mind is not thinking rationally. And this happens when a person allows his desire to overcome his intellect. A person has a desire and has an intellect. When the desire overrides and it overcomes the intellect, now a person is in a state of drunkenness. لَفِي سَكْرَتِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's word. And this is the case of the homosexuals. The mind is not thinking rationally. They would commit the immoral deed based on their shahwa and not based on their intellect. This is why Allah Azza wa Jal would say, Lut said to them, he said, إِنَّكُمْ لَتَأْتُونَ الرِّجَالَ what? شَهْوَةً مِن دُونِ النِّسَاءِ. That you people are approaching men with desire. He did not say to them, you're approaching men عَقْلًا, with intellect. You're acting purely based on your desire. And if the desire has taken over, you are definitely in a straight state of drunkenness. They were inspired and moved towards their major sin because of their desire, not because of their intellect. Because I tell you why. Otherwise, the intellect, if you use the intellect, look what the intellect will say. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the private male organ and the female, private female organ for a purpose. Allah created them for a purpose. They taught us in school, in biology and in science, and I attended those classes when I was in school, they taught us that these organs are called human reproductive system. This is what they taught us. So the purpose of this organ and this organ is to reproduce. That's the purpose. So anyone who uses his organ for other than the purpose it was created, لَفِي سَكْرَتِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. You're not using your intellect. Imagine someone wanted to listen with his eyes, or someone wanted to hear with his ears. Imagine someone wanted to see with his ear. You brought something close and I said, show me. What are you going to say about such a person? Maybe, perhaps this is why the DSM referred to it as a mental disorder. Maybe, because they couldn't figure it out. How are you using this organ for other than its purpose? And then the back passage was created for things that are in to come out, for the waste to come out. It wasn't created for foreign matter to go in, unless it was a medical procedure, like a colonoscopy test or something like this. That's all. Other than that, it's not known. This is not the purpose of these organs. And when you use your organs for other than what they were created, there is confusion in this. There is confusion. There is misguidance. There is deviance. Which perhaps now gives us a better explanation as to why it was first referred to as a mental disorder in 1952 in the DSM, which was first published in that year. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Quran, that when Qawm Lut gathered in front of the door of Lut alayhi salam, and they wanted his guests, the angels, they wanted to commit al-fahisha with them, he said to them, أَلَيْسَ مِنْكُمْ رَجُلٌ رَشِيدٌ. Isn't there anyone among you has rushd? Rushd means guidance. And al-ulama rahimahumullah, they say, عَدَمُ الرُّشْدِ عَدَمُ التَّمْيِيزِ بَيْنَ الْحَقِّ وَالْبَاطِلِ. If a person loses his rushd, loses his intelligence, that means he reaches a point where he cannot differentiate between the good and the evil. These people are in front of the door of Lut alayhi salam, trying to break the door, daqa bihim dhar'an, and he got worried for his guests, and they're saying to him, give us your guests. لَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ مَا لَنَا فِي بَنَاتِكَ مِنْ حَقْ وَإِنَّكَ لَتَعْلَمُ مَا نُرِيدُ. We don't want your daughters. We don't want marriage. You know exactly what we want. Bring him out. Subhanallah. Until they would comfort Lut alayhi salam and say, don't worry, إِنَّ رُسُلُ رَبِّكْ لَنْ يَصِلُوا إِلَيْكَ. We're the angels of Allah Azza wa Jal. They will not reach you. We're here to punish them. And the punishment would come down. But the idea is, he said to them, أَلَيْسَ مِنْكُمْ رَجُلٌ رَشِيدٌ. Switch it on. Use it. This is not created for this. This is what he said to them. So this diagnosis now of homosexuality being a mental disorder in the DSM was challenged by gay right activists at the time. Remember I told you, وَاصْبِرُوا عَلَىٰ آلِهَتِكُمْ. Look at the sabr they will have to continue going down until they get rights. 1952, until a major event happened in history. And this happened in 1969. More specifically, the 28th of June. And this is known as the Stonewall Riots. It is also referred to as the Stonewall Uprising. And another name for it, and you'll see how incredibly relevant this is, Stonewall Rebellion. And this event that happened on that day, it is referred in history as the single most important event leading to gay liberation movement. This. And it happened in June. And this is why June is Pride Month. They celebrate this event. And then we need to know what happened on this event. It happened in June. This year was the 52nd year of celebration. It was a riot that took place between the 28th of June and the 3rd of July for a few days. It had happened in Stonewall, which is located in Greenwich, in Lower Manhattan, in New York City, on a street called Christopher Street. There is a Stonewall Inn. On that street, there is a building. And this building was a private gay bar and club. And it was owned by the mafia. And the mafia would pay the police so that they can turn a blind eye and not come here. Otherwise, they'll always go there and do raids and so on. If we can request from the brothers to please come forward. Can people come forward? Can we ask from my brothers, inshallah, that you come forward? So we can make space for those outside. Jazakumullahu khairan. Now, so we continue with the event that happened on the 28th of June, 1969. And that is that the mafia would pay the police to turn a blind eye And on the last week of June 1969, the mafia didn't pay. So the police came and made a visit to this private gay bar. They walked in and they requested from the patrons, the guests that were there, that they produce their IDs. Those that were cross-dressed, meaning males wearing female dressing, they took them to the bathrooms to check their privates. If it was a male organ and wearing female clothing, he's handcuffed and taken. That's the law. That's the law at the time. You must respect the law and be a law-abiding citizen. And this began to happen, and people are gathering. Almost 150 to 200 protesters gathered outside on that night. And bystanders would begin to shout, "Gay power, we shall overcome." And I tell you something, the one who's upon falsehood doesn't have an intellectual argument. If he doesn't get what he wants, he's going to get it with violence. You'll see who's violent now. And they began to scream in this manner. And the police were locked in the building. And these gay attendants managed to come out. The police were in there. They locked them in there. They set the bar on fire. And these police officers managed to escape. And the next night, 1,000 people came. And many more police came. There was a lot of police presence that night in those days. To the point where they recall and mention a taxi driver, he turned into Christopher Street, oblivious to what's happening, had no clue what's happening. And they stormed his car, began to rocket up and down. And later, he was scared. They saw him scared. He managed to escape. Later on that day, he died from a heart attack. This is documented. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he referred to Qawm Lut in the Quran, Lut alayhi salam came out to them and he said to them, وَتَذَرُونَ مَا خَلَقَ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ عَادُونَ. All of you, Lot, are a rebellious people. And nothing changed. This was the description Lut alayhi salam told his people at the time. And it is the very same description we saw in their behavior on 1969. بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ عَادُونَ. Violence. They almost killed police officers. They killed the taxi driver. No one apologized for him. No one ever made an issue about that. They broke the law. They knew they weren't supposed to be doing what they are doing. But they broke the law. Why doesn't anyone hold them to account? And I tell you this, my brothers and sisters in Islam. Wallah, if you go onto Google Streets, and you go onto this street, and you do Street View, and you zoom into it, right next to Stonewall, there is a poster that says Stonewall National Monument Visitor Center. It will be opening on the 28th of June 2024. Yeah, this is going to be, they're making a monument now, something that can be always remembered, that this was the greatest event that brought our liberation about. And underneath the bottom, wallahi, this is written, 55th. Because in 2024, it will be the 55th anniversary of Stonewall Rebellion. Rebellion. They're not celebrating victory. They are celebrating rebellion, which is what Lut alayhi salam said. بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ عَادُونَ. Rebellious people. They are proud of their rebellion. They only got their so-called rights through rebellion and violence. That's how they got the right. The rebellion was so intense that even in 2019, in June, the New York Police Commissioner, he formally apologized to them for the actions of the officers. Weren't the officers doing their job? What's the apology for? Did they apologize for the family? That the taxi driver they killed and caused his death? Did they apologize for the trauma they caused the police officers that night that were doing their job? Sure, for rebellion, you'll see it. Anyway, a few years go by, 1970, 1971, 1972, the movements are growing strong and strong all around the world. There's now a group in Berlin coming out, in Germany, in Paris, in Spain, in France, parts of New York, many states. The movement started rising out of nowhere and joining hands with each other. We said to you, "Usbiru ala alihatikum." See this? Watch how it's done. In 1973, the gay rights movement began to protest against the APA, which is the American Psychiatric Association. They were protesting against them for them to remove homosexuality from the DSM and do not consider this a mental disorder. Remove it as a mental disorder. This is what they wanted. Until 1974, in where the APA recommended that homosexuality be declassified as a mental disorder, and it was renamed to sexual orientation disturbance, meaning only who comes and complains about an urge he has and he doesn't feel right, we'll diagnose him with a mental disorder. And if you feel good about it, you're spared. There's no issue here. And why did they change it? They say that there was no scientific evidence to support that this is a mental disorder. Science is the religion of the West. And don't get me wrong, we benefit from science where we benefit from. And if it goes against the Quran or Sunnah, then definitely we detest it and we do not accept that. However, science is their deen. And science doesn't make a link between homosexuality and mental disorder. Therefore, they removed it. And gay activists celebrated the removal of homosexuality from the DSM. And they declared victory and they were chanting on the streets, "We won, we won." And then the APA published a position statement that urged people to end anti-homosexual discrimination and called for the decriminalization of private sexual acts between consenting adults. This is what they published. And also, the APA also made it clear that it did not endorse the view of homosexuality that it was a normal variant of sexuality. They still said this is something distorted. But okay, we remove it from the DSM. It's no longer a mental health or a mental disorder. But look, I tell you something. When they called for decriminalizing, listen, when they called for decriminalizing private sexual acts between consenting adults, that only removes children out of the picture. So it continues to say that pedophiles are criminals, but it doesn't remove incest. So can you see the hypocrisy? Because if a brother and a sister, or a father and a daughter, or a mother and her son were to say we love each other, we want to sleep with each other, then based on the definition that they said, they're permitted to do so. Because they said decriminalizing private sexual acts between consenting adults. That only takes out the pedophilia, but it doesn't take out incest. Why am I saying this to you? I'm saying this to you because you're not going to find a firmer stance other than Islam. So look at this, and we're going to go with them as we go ahead, go along. From the DSM, you'll find that there is hypocrisy. You people are saying that any two consenting adults, it's fine, but then you're coming and you're saying that incest is a crime, an imprisonment of up to 8 years. So it doesn't make sense. There is hypocrisy in that which you brought out to the world. You'll realize only Islam has the strong stance, no compromise, and there is no hypocrisy whatsoever. In 1980, the DSM that was published in the 1980 changed sexual orientation disorder, and now it was reworded to say ego dystonic homosexuality. What's ego dystonic homosexuality? There are two words here. There's ego dystonic, and opposite to that is ego syntonic. Ego dystonic is if you have a bad, if you have a habit, or if you're tempted to do something and you want to be distant from it, you hate it. Ego dystonic. And ego syntonic is when you have the homosexual urge and it's part of your system. You love it. So they said now it's called ego dystonic homosexuality, meaning whoever wants to distance himself from the homosexual urges or feelings he has, we're going to say he's mentally ill, and the other one that loves the feeling, that's fine, he's not mentally ill. In 1987, more and more protests, اصبروا على آلهتكم, ego dystonic homosexuality was removed from the DSM altogether. But the treatment was still there. It was mentioned, there was a treatment for it. And mental health professionals could still diagnose LGBT people with a sexual disorder. In 2013, the DSM edition number 5, that did not include any diagnostic category whatsoever. And in 2013 is the official year which homosexuality was completely removed as a mental disorder, a category to the treatment and the cure, everything was got complete removal in 2013. And here in Australia, for example, December 2017, just a couple of years after that, the right to marry in Australia was no longer determined by sex or gender. See how quick this was? You see how quick we went from illegal to legal? And there were two things that always highlighted here. أَنِمْشُوا وَاصْبِرُوا عَلَىٰ آلِهَتِكُمْ, the patience, and they still continue until this day. Be patient and firm upon your falsehood. And look, this is like Bani Israel. When they worshipped the calf, Harun would say to them, this is wrong, keep away from it. They said, لَنْ نَبْرَحَ عَلَيْهِ عَاكِفِينَ, we're going to do i'tikaf at the feet of the calf. We're not going to move from here until Musa alayhi salam comes back and tells us this is your true God, or he explains to us what the story is. But the idea, mentality, the attitude of the disbeliever upon his disbelief and upon his falsehood, it's sabr. And we said about the normalization, and we said about shaitan decorating this deed for them. My brothers and sisters in Islam, this continues to be normalized until this day. There is something that was known as conversion therapy. Conversion therapy, if you're a homosexual, you'll present to whoever it is that is going to do conversion therapy, a psychologist, and there are ways. Allah, there are ways in where Islam condemns. Part of conversion therapy is chemical or surgical castration. This is one of the conversion therapies. And there's electric shock as well. And there's beating and there's hitting. All of this, and Islam condemns all this. We don't need all this. But now, the conversion therapy of sitting one-to-one with a psychologist and a psychologist talking you out of it, converting you out of this urge and this thought, could be imprisoned and could be fined. If the victim is able to, beyond doubt, prove that a person was trying to do this upon him. Allahu Akbar. And this is currently now banned in Queensland, in Victoria, and in the ACT. Not in New South Wales yet, but very soon the states are all following. Conversion therapy becomes banned across Australia. That's when you need to be careful. You will not be able to speak. Lakin, the believer remains upon that which Allah Azza wa Jal has taught him, and he doesn't compromise the truth. And even more, because we have the truth. Not only this, my brothers and sisters in Islam, but recently we find that there is heavy advertisement of homosexuality towards the Muslim community. Why is this? Did anyone ever ask this question? You know, you will never find a Muslim hijab woman doing an advertisement for a pork company, or a hijab woman doing an advertisement for a liquor alcohol company, drinking. You don't find this. You don't find billboards and ads in where a Muslim woman wearing al-hijab is on a poker machine as an advertisement for the casino. You don't find this. How come you find Muslim wearing a hijab, sitting on a wheelchair, and making love with another woman? And it is a poster put out in Canada, public train station, and it is rampant. You'll find a lot of Muslims now appearing in these ads. Why? I'll tell you why. Why, out of among all the major sins, this is the one that is heavily advertised towards Muslim communities? The simple answer is, it is our fault. Because there are Muslims among us, leading figures of the Muslim community around the world, that have stood up and showed support for this. And that they have shown that this is permissible in Islam. And they have spread this and made it widespread among the community. As a result, it's because of these people that now the LGBT community find that we have a community. We have the Muslim community. We have customers. We need to also project our stuff to them. And we need to also advertise to them. As a result, we fell into a problem because of people among us that held the title of Muslim leader. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And this is nifaq in Islam. This is nifaq in Islam. Because in Islam, the deed is haram, and supporting the deed is just as bad. The wife of Lut alayhi salam was destroyed, not because she engaged in the act of homosexuality, But it's because she showed support and she went against her husband Lut alayhi salam. And she tipped off Qawm Lut to say to him, to them, that we have guests in our house. Come and come have a piece of them. As a result, she was from among those who were destroyed because of her support. For even the believer is supposed to be aware. My brothers and sisters in Islam, some Muslim leaders, leading figures, came on news, came on TV to say that I condemn homosexuality from a moral standpoint, but I accept it as a political right. Since when did Islam differentiate between that which is moral and that which is political? This is exactly what secularism is. And this is not in Islam. And there's no difference between morality, politically, socially, physically, mental, whatever it is, it's all one in Islam. We need to be careful of this, my brothers and sisters, and do not compromise on a stance. It's very easy, my brothers and sisters in Islam, very easy to hold your belief and to be strong about your belief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he described Qawm Lut in the Quran, from the many descriptions, he said to them, بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ مُسْرِفُونَ. You people are transgressors. Well, israf is to go beyond limit, meaning there's a border, there's a line. A transgressor is that which crosses the limit, and once you cross the limit, where do you stop? You don't stop. And this is everyone that does al-haram. He doesn't have a limit. A person who commits homosexuality, one doesn't satisfy him. You find 2, 3, 4, 5, perhaps on the same night. Hakal haram, this is what haram does. And you will never be satisfied. And you will never be fulfilled, no matter what a person says. This is qawmun musrifun. Part of their israf is that they have spread it in school curriculums. Now it's normalized. It's normal to teach that a family can be 2 males and it can be 2 women. This is normal. This is in schools. This is in books. And this is around the world. And this is from year 1, year 2, year 3, as small as that. Subhanallah. And just last week, on the 25th of August, now it's called Wear It Purple Day. Wear It Purple Day. In which you are recommended by the school to wear a purple ribbon. And this is going to show your support for LGBT. It shows you why. Why do I have to wear it? I'm not a lawyer. I'm not here to advocate your cause. And I'm not here to defend for your rights. I don't support this. I don't believe in this. Very simple. A Muslim, very simple his stance. My brothers and sisters, there's no point to be confused. There's no worry to be confused. You stand strong, firm upon your stance. I don't believe in this. I don't support it. And you can believe and you can do what you like. Don't involve me in your stuff. I'm out of this altogether. It's in ads, in posters, in jerseys. The Manly team, that they had a jersey and had a rainbow flag. And then 6 players did not want to play. But then, I want to use this to tell you, once again, the LGBT community would respond to these 6 players by saying, you people are hypocrites. You people are hypocrites. You don't want to wear the rainbow flag? What about points bet? Isn't gambling impermissible in your religion? Isn't it an evil sin? What about the liquor logo? Isn't alcohol also forbidden in your religion? Once again, I tell you, no one will have the strongest stance other than the Muslim. These people are hypocrites. And the LGBT community did a good job to also highlight the hypocrisy. Whatever it is, this only gives us the strength and the empowerment to see how correct Islam is. There is no hypocrisy in Islam because all those 3 sins are condemned and they are evil sins in Islam as well. We reject them and we won't wear any jersey or t-shirt that has all this stuff on it. This kind of material is found in children books, on their clothing, in bags, in flags, in pins. It's advertised everywhere. This is part of بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ مُسْرِفُونَ. This is what israf means. And anything they can plaster it on, they will plaster it on. And this is exactly what israf is. My brothers and sisters in Islam, listen very carefully to what I'm going to say. As a Muslim, how do we feel about homosexuality? Very simple. We don't have to make up answers. Lut alayhi salam told us exactly how we're supposed to feel. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that Lut alayhi salam said to them, قَالَ إِنِّي لِعَمَلِكُمْ مِنَ الْقَالِينَ. This is the emotion, قَالِينَ. He said, I hate and dislike your sin. This is qaleen, al-bughd al-shadid. I have passion and extreme hate for your sin. Now, listen very carefully and differentiate between hating something and being violent towards something. Critical point, understand what I'm going to say. I can hate what I like and I can love what I like. No one will dictate to me what I love and what I hate. Aslan, what is hate to people anyway? A Muslim hates what Allah hates and loves what Allah loves. And this is something in our Islam known as al-wala'u wal-bara'. This is the life of the Muslim. I hate birds, but I don't necessarily become violent to birds. Not at all. If I saw a thirsty bird, I'll give it water. I'll give it food to drink. Hating is one thing. You can hate what you want, but it doesn't mean that you're violent towards this thing. So as a Muslim, I don't believe in this. In fact, my emotion is that I hate this. I dislike it. And I can, as I said, hate what I want. I hate who insults my parents. I hate who bullied me at school. What, do I have to like everyone and love everything? What kind of life is this? No one dictates to you what you like and what you hate. The only one who tells you what you're supposed to love and what you're supposed to hate is what Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us. Very simple, very clear. There's no confusion in all of this. Now, yani, there are so many people that hate Islam. Did anyone bother to do anything about them? Vegetarians, they hate meat eaters. I hate them with a passion as well. Did anyone say anything to them? You can hate what you don't want, but don't extend your arm to anyone. Do not be violent towards anyone. This is wrong, and this is condemned. For even we find out that you can hate, and this is the kind of emotion that the believer is supposed to have towards this sin. Like my brothers and sisters in Islam, I want to share with you the untold dangers of homosexuality. I called it the untold dangers because the vast majority of you wouldn't even know what I'm talking about. But when I talk about it, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Therefore, why hasn't this content been the common narrative and the common speech and word when it comes to this matter? And this is this. What are the untold dangers of homosexuality? You see, my brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah Azza wa Jal did not forbid anything except that it has harmful effects on the human being's body, soul, and his mind. And there are major sexual and psychological health risks that a person needs to be aware of if he was to engage with the action of homosexuality. You know, today, when you buy a pack of cigarettes, there is warnings on it. Lung cancer, and there is a picture of teeth, dirty, disgusting teeth. All of this so that you can be turned away from it. On every Coke can, there is health rating on it, so it can deter you away from it. When there is schoolies and so on, they say safe sex and take protection and whatever it is. Saturated fats, fried foods, processed foods, keep away from it. It's bad for your cholesterol, bad for your heart health, and the entire world knows how bad these foods are. But did you know that anal penetration is the most riskiest form of sexual behavior that a person can conduct? It is the most riskiest form of sexual practice. There's a high risk of developing viral hepatitis, including hepatitis A, hepatitis B, hepatitis C. And there is no cure for hepatitis A and B. That means a person will go on treatment for life. A person is at high risk of contracting HIV and STD, and it is the cause of the spread of HIV and STD. And anal cancer is developed in such acts when they are engaged with. And the loosening of the anus that results in a person becoming more prone to infections and diseases. And the risk of HPV, human papillomavirus. Why don't they tell us that the LGBT community are supposed to take many vaccines a year, and they're supposed to conduct many tests a year, sometimes 6-7 tests every 3-4 months to clear them from STD and HIV and whatever it is. Why isn't this apparent? Why isn't this common and known? Monkeypox, the recent monkeypox, it is spreading among this community. There's a risk. Why aren't these told? SubhanAllah. And they did a good job. When coronavirus came out, they warned us of lungs collapsing or long COVID. Thank you very much. Jazakumullahu khairan. You're looking after my health. What about my sexual health? Isn't that important as well? I believe that on every rainbow flag, there should be a picture up the top with a picture of a person with anal cancer. This is serious. This is a warning. And the genital warts that can happen, there should be a picture just to warn the people as to what will happen, what you're going down in. This is a path of no return. There is no cure. There is no treatment for these matters. Shouldn't people know? Isn't their sexual health very important? But the entire thing of legalizing the whole thing was for people's sexual health. Yet we find out on the other side that it is danger. There is danger in this. And in addition to this, the punishment of Allah, the curse of Allah, the punishment that a person exposes himself to in the grave, in the afterlife, before Allah Azza wa Jal. So we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with these matters. These people changed al-fitrah. They distorted the natural disposition of the human being. And when they flipped the fitrah, this is why the punishment of Qawm Lut was that Jibreel alayhi salam would flip the entire town upside down. When they flipped the fitrah, they got exactly what they did, and the entire town was flipped upon them. وَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ حَاصِبًا. Stones were thrown at them, and they were blinded. طَمَصْنَا أَعْيُنَهُمْ. All of these kind of punishments were sent upon them before the destruction. And on the day of judgment, it gets worse for people like this. My brothers and sisters in Islam, wallah. And I am just telling you about the untold dangers. You do what you like, you go and love who you love. I'm not here to say love him and don't love him. I'm here to simply point out to you the dangers of this matter. This is why I believe on every rainbow flag, there should be a warning. They're really, because this is what markets their product. Instead, they sidelined all of these dangers. They gave us a nice colorful rainbow. And they said, love is love. They packaged it and marketed it to the people in this manner. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. This is intelligence being used in the manner. It's the only way you can defeat evil and corruption that is spreading on earth. My brothers and sisters in Islam, how do we deal with homosexual urges? And look, this is something common. There are Muslims, and there is, يعني, a lot. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. That have these urges and they feel these urges. How do they deal with this as a Muslim? Very simply, let me give you in a couple of points. Number one, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ تَجَاوَزَ عَنْ أُمَّتِي مَا حَدَّثُوا بِهِ نُفُوسُهُمْ مَا لَمْ يَعْمَلُوا أَوْ يَتَكَلَّمُوا. Allah Azza wa Jal, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that Allah does not hold to account that which a person desires and thinks of, so long as he does not speak and act. And I want to say something. There is something that has extremely wrong that has gone around Muslims. And that is to say that feeling gay is okay, but do not act upon this sin. This is incorrectly worded. There is nothing in our deen that says to you, feeling gay is okay, and that it's only a sin when you act. Halat. The correct wording is to say, you are not held to account for that which you desire and that which you feel of urges. You're not held to account. It's different to saying it's okay. You're not held to account so long as you do not speak it and you do not act by it. This is what we want to say. Because the sins, Allah Azza wa Jal told us, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ كَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْعِصْيَانَ. Allah Azza wa Jal instilled hatred for a shirk and sin and disobedience and transgression in your heart. So the believer is supposed to hate the sin. He's supposed to hate it. Not say to the believers, it's okay to feel like this. But this is when then you make him insane. And he won't know how to feel and how to respond to his urges. So we say Allah does not hold you at account for what you feel. But you need to continuously make dua and say, Allahumma karrih. إِلَيْنَا الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْعِصْيَانِ. This is what you should be doing. Because when you say it's okay, you're beginning to normalize it in the heart of this individual. And if it begins to normalize, when the environment is there, He'll act upon it. So now, that's the first knowledge you have. Number two, lower the gaze. If a person has these urges, lower the gaze. What the eye doesn't see will not affect the heart. As a result, the urge is suppressed. Number two, fasting. If fasting was to suppress the urge of a zina, then most definitely it's also a cure for those who have these homosexual urges. As-salat, Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, "Inna as-salata tanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkar." That the prayer, it deters a person away from immorality and shameless deeds. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that if a person prays, he will not commit sins. Rather, it means if a person prays, he will continuously have this alarm that is ringing, telling him, fear Allah, fear Allah. Because what's the difference between a person that prays and doesn't? The one who does not pray doesn't have an alarm that reminds him of Allah. But the one who prays has this alarm that reminds him of Allah Azza wa Jal. And finally, reflect over the side effects and over the punishment of Allah that He sent upon these people. Wallah Azza wa Jal, He said in the Quran, فَانْظُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. Look and reflect and ponder over how Allah Azza wa Jal made the ending of the criminals of Qawm Lut. So when you reflect over this matter, it's supposed to deter a person from acting on these feelings that he has. My brothers and sisters in Islam, there are some Muslim liberals, and I want to mention this here because it's on the point, that have confused our brothers and sisters in Islam. They casted a doubt and a misconception among the Muslim community. And we want to fix this. This doubt is to say that the story of Lut alayhi salam is not about consensual homosexuality. They say this is a story about rape, and that what is haram is to rape men. Otherwise, if two men were to consensually agree, then this is fine. This is permissible. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Distortion of the deen is rampant. And this is what happens when the meanings of the Quran are not brought forth to the people. So let us fix this one up. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates how the first incident of homosexuality happened. How did the first incident happen? Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in the Quran that they were the first people to commit it. But how did it happen? Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates, Was-Suyuti rahimahullah mentions this in Ad-Durr al-Manthur, his book at Tafsir. He said that Qawm Lut used to have a farm, and there were fruits and produce that they would live on that. So strangers used to walk past in the farm, and they used to pick the fruits, and they used to go. So Qawm Lut had a discussion among each other, saying that if we continue to allow these strangers to come into our farm, then all our fruits are going to finish, and we're going to be in severe poverty. We're going to starve to death. So what are we going to do? They discussed among themselves, the next stranger that walks in here, we'll take him, we'll commit homosexuality with him, and we'll take 4 dirham from him, and we'll let it be known that this is what we do with any stranger that would decide to walk into our park and into our garden. And they did this. And this was the first recorded deed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تَقْطَعُونَ الطَّرِيقِ يَتَقْطَعُونَ السَّبِيلَ وَتَأْتُونَ فِي نَادِيكُمُ الْمُنْكَرِ. That they used to cut the street, and they used to take these people that were coming to feed off a farm, and they used to commit the horrible deed with them. So then these Muslim liberals say, there it is. This is about raping men, not about consensual homosexuality. Wrong, wrong. Why? لأن الله سبحانه وتعالى says, وَتَأْتُونَ فِي نَادِيكُمُ الْمُنْكَرِ. Later on, this developed and became a desire and a temptation. They loved it. So they used to go to their nadi, which is the club. They used to join in the clubs, and they used to commit this sin consensually. And this is what was forbidden. Then, the other thing is this. If you're saying that the story of Qawm Lut is a confusion, and it's not clear evidence, okay, put it on the side, no problems, just so we can argue with intellectual and rational proofs. Isn't it that the entire Muslim ummah agrees that the human being has a awrah to be covered? So if I'm not allowed to look at the awrah of a man, how then is it allowed to penetrate into the awrah? Didn't you think of that? Adam alayhi salam and Hawa, when their clothes came off after they had tasted from the tree in that paradise, They began to rush to cover their privates. This is fitrat al-insan, he covers his privates as soon as possible. Subhanallah. And we spoke about the story of Musa and the rock, wanting to cover his awrah. And even children, from when they're young and they're growing, they have this innate inclination to cover their awrah. And this is the human, this is the fitrah. So if you don't want to refer to Qawm Lut's story, how is it permissible? You can't even look at it. How then you want to commit the deed? Even these Muslim rebels have a lot to answer when they listen to this kind of explanation. What do you say then? We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to save us. Hatta from the dua of Adhkar al-Sabah wal-Masa is for the believer to say, Allahumma astur awrati. Oh Allah, cover my privates. Cover the privates. So if it's covered, meaning that's it. If someone cannot see it, that means the act cannot be done. Subhanallah. And we're coming to the end, my brothers and sisters in Islam. I just have two more points, inshallah, to share with you. Very important. How to deal with someone that has homosexual urges and presents to you. You see, look, very simple. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the masjid one day, and a man, a young youth, came to him and he said, Ya Rasulullah, i'dhalli bizzina. Give me permission so that I commit zina. This person has a huge desire for zina. So he said, give me permission. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not shame him, did not insult him, rather he made him think deep. He said to him, are you pleased for this for your mother? He said, no. He said, are you pleased for your sister, for your auntie, for your daughter's cousin? He said, no. Until this man, and then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his hand on his chest and he said, Allahumma tahhir qalbahu, purify his heart, wa ghfir dhanbahu, forgive his sin, wa hassin farjahu, and protect his privates from al-haram. This man said, I entered upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The most beloved deed was az-zina, and I entered, and the most detested, condemned deed I had in my heart was az-zina. Subhanallah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sparked some knowledge and intellect in his mind. He was able to think and he came out. But you know, subhanAllah, even today, if you were to say to someone, perhaps someone that came and said, I have this kind of feeling, perhaps he would say, I don't mind if it happens to my mother or my sister. People like this, if this is the case, then people like this is not going to work. People like this need to be returned back to their original fitrah, back to the natural disposition. So the idea is discussion. There's no need for insult and there's no need for swearing. Even the companion Nu'ayman that used to drink the alcohol, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba used to bring him. And the Sahaba used to swear at him, لَعَنَكَ اللَّهُ مَا أَكْثَرَ مَا يُؤْتَى بِكَ. May Allah curse you. How many times are you brought to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, لَا تَلْعَنُوهُ مَا عَلِمْتُ أَنَّهُ يُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. Do not curse him. What I know of him is that he loves Allah and his Messenger. So if a person has this urge and he wants to clean himself, we guide him to the correct manner. We guide him to al-fitrah. We guide him to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to us of guidance. Finally, we're coming to the last point here, my brothers and sisters in Islam. And that is, nothing is going to save us during these times except a few things. And this is, as Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the Quran, إِلَّا آلَ لُوطٍ نَجَّيْنَاهُمْ بِسَحَرٍ نِعْمَةً مِّنْ عِنْدِنَا كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي مَنْ شَكَرٍ. Allah Azza wa Jal, he speaks about how he saved Lut alayhi salam and his two daughters. And he said that he saved them بسحر, at suhoor time, because this is a blessed time. And he said, نِعْمَةً مِّنْ عِنْدِنَا. It was a blessing from us upon Lut that we saved him before the destruction came down. But what saved him? Allah said, كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي مَنْ شَكَرٍ. And in the same manner we saved Lut, we would also save those that come after Lut that will do exactly what he did. And this is engaging in the deed of shakar, ash-shakur, gratitude to Allah Azza wa Jal. And a person is grateful to Allah Azza wa Jal when he implements his deen and he implements the obligations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put upon him. Seek knowledge. Knowledge will protect you from al-fitan. You know, that one of the fitan of a Dajjal on the Day of Judgment is that a man would appear And the Dajjal would say to the gathering, look at this man. I'm going to cause his death and I'm going to bring him back to life. Great fitna, right? So this person comes and he slices him in half and the person dies. And then a Dajjal would say to him, get up. And this person, his two halves become one by the permission of Allah, and he stands. What a huge fitna. And then a Dajjal would say to him, Man Rabbuk, who's your Lord now? This person would say, Allahu Rabbi, wa anta Dajjal, anta adu Allah. Allah is my Lord, you are a Dajjal, and you are the enemy of Allah. And he'll say to him, today is the day in which I am most certain that you are a Dajjal. How did this person pass the fitna? Because he had knowledge that this will happen. And knowledge, al-ilm, will save you in the time of fitan. Al-ibadah will save you in the time of fitan. Al-Qur'an, was-salat in al-masjid, righteous company, all of this bi-ithnillahi ta'ala is going to save the believers from al-fitan and from whatever punishment comes down because of these fitan. My brothers and sisters in Islam, the ending conclusion, concluding advice, you know, Harun alayhi salam, when he saw his people worshipping a calf, engaging al-haram, he couldn't do anything. With his hand, he couldn't do anything. And that's not what we need to do and what we want to do. Rather, he came to them and he said to them words. And this is what we are supposed to be doing. Follow the path of Harun alayhi salam. He said, Ya qawmi innama futintum bih. My people, this is a huge trial and tribulation that you have fallen into. Innama futintum bih. Wa inna rabbakum ar-rahman fattabi'uni wa ati'u amri. And your Lord is ar-rahman, the most merciful. The Lord, Allah's name ar-rahman, was used here to say that if you're engaged in any of these fitan, make a tawbah to ar-rahman. Wallah subhanahu wa ta'ala would accept these people. He'll accept you, he'll accept us all. All of us need to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tawbah and repentance. Lut alayhi salam would say, Rabbi, najjini wa ahli mimma ya'malun. This is a dua that the believer is supposed to be doing. Oh Allah, save me and my family from that which they do. And finally, and this is ending it here, my brothers and sisters in Islam, I share with you something. You know, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah mentioned, he said, that there are no people that join together and come together upon sin and transgression, except that they will disperse and divide and fight among one another. Wallah. And yesterday I saw a hashtag going viral. It says, lesbians removed. So I wanted to know what this is about. For I looked and searched into it. Wallahi, this is serious. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah is saying to us, people that join upon sin and transgression, they cannot unite. There will be division and dispersion among them. Watch this. In South Wales, which is in the UK, there was a march yesterday for the LGBT community. The police, South Wales police, this is on their Twitter page, you can go see it, and the video is there. The South Wales police presented, because there was some issue, and they began to remove lesbians from the march. And these women were saying, we are lesbians. And the police were saying to them, move from here. Move, this is for your safety. And on the other side, that's walking with the march, are trannies, transgender women, but identified as males. They were walking. And a scuffle happened. And arguing was happening. And now, this is what people are tweeting and saying. They're saying, so lesbians are not allowed to be lesbians anymore? These trannies lot are dangerous. Pride was started by gays and lesbians years ago, but now it's being hijacked by the mentally ill. Look, they're fighting among one another. We have another one here. He says, lesbians were not removed. He says, transphobes were. So now the lesbians are known as transphobes. They, because when you don't accept a trans, meaning you're a transphobe. So the lesbian now is a transphobe. And the trannies that did not accept the lesbians are called lesbophobes. They're against them. Wallahi, this is on the news. And they're doing Marxists, look at this. Trans activism removes lesbians. And they're marching. And they're saying that the L belongs in the LGBT. And they want to remove the T out. And the T want to remove the L out. And so they did this. There's no LGB without the T. This is the trannies doing this. I don't know. And I'm just bringing what I saw. So someone needs to explain it. But in the end, what Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said is exactly what you're going to see. This won't last. It will not last. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, so long as we have believers upon the truth. And we have believers that are propagating the truth. Bi-ithnillah, al-batil would become destroyed. وَقُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us and our families. رَبِّ نَجِّنَا وَأَهْلَنَا مِمَّا يَعْمَلُونَ. We ask Allah azza wa jal to forgive our sins and our shortcomings. إِنَّهُ لِيُ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهُ. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدُ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.